Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, the foundation of our church. Our text is the gospel lesson, Matthew 5, a portion of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Let us pray. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. We pray that your holy word would ever penetrate our minds, our hearts, to work repentance in us and true faith in us, understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I say to you, five times in the gospel lesson, if you listen carefully, five times in that short portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I say to you, which means really pay attention. Always pay attention when our Lord speaks, but really pay attention. Jesus is not just another teacher. He's not someone just sharing some religious opinion. He's not just another rabbi that you consider with all the other rabbis. This is the I am. The I stands out. He's the I am of the Old Testament. He's the God that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. The God who gave the law at Mount Sinai. That I am, that God now is in the person of Jesus. Jesus is God, the I am. So pay attention to what he has to say. And in our gospel, it's all about the law. And there are three lessons here that we pay attention to. And we're all self-righteous. We all like to think deep down we can obey the law. At least better than the other guy next to me. We all want to justify ourselves and think somehow God owes me a little bit because I'm such a doggone good person. And to such self-righteous, pious people, these words hit home. Number one, three lessons. Number one, Christ here is saying, teaching us to know the full meaning of the commandments. All you self-righteous people that think you're going to make your way by obeying the commandments. Now, do you understand the full meaning of the commandments? Do you realize what God is really requiring of you in the commandments? And he just mentions a few of the commandments towards our neighbor as an example. You could mention all of them, but just a couple. And he hits on two really big ones, murder and adultery. Do you understand the full meaning of what God requires of you in the commandments? And let me do a quick test to see if you do. Who here is a murderer? Raise your hand. You've committed murder? If you got your hand down, you don't know the full meaning of the commandments. Now, this is a scary one. Who here is an adulterer? Oh, goodness, hide! If you don't have your hand up, you don't know the meanings of the commandments. But we're here to teach. The Lord is here to teach. We're all murderers. We're all adulterers. We all deserve hell. The Lord, as you notice here, he takes the commandments beyond the outward action. You say, well, I haven't actually physically outwardly committed murder. I haven't committed murder. Well, you don't understand the commandment. Notice what Jesus says. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother, whoever insults his brother, whoever says you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. He takes the commandment to the heart. It's not just your outward action, but what lies in the heart. And the word angry here is probably not the best word, angry. It should be the word hate. The Greek word means a simmering anger that continues and gets worse and worse, where you hate and you won't get over it, you won't forgive, you won't move on, but it grows in you and you hate and you get bitter and you hold a grudge. That's the meaning here. If you hate someone, you're holding a grudge, you're bitter, and you will not forgive them. You won't make peace with them. You won't be reconciled to them. You're a murderer. And then that hatred can show itself by insulting someone. You speak badly about them. You call them names. All those are fruits of the hatred in your heart. But the real problem is this thing right here, the heart. You hate and you won't forgive and reconcile. So showing a cold shoulder to someone, avoiding someone, I don't like them. They hurt me 19 years ago. I won't talk to them anymore. That, friend, is murder. And then adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, it's this thing right here called the heart. We're all murderers. We're all adulterers. So to take it to one more practical today, we're all in church. Are you obeying the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath day? We're in church. I'm worshiping. If you're not listening, if your heart is far from God on your job or on sports or on pleasure or where you're going to eat after church, if your heart, you're not listening, you're not paying attention, you're not singing, you're not praying, your heart's not here, you're breaking the third commandment in the pew, friend. Sabbath breaker. And we've all done it. Lord, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. You know the full meaning of the commandments, all you who think you're going to get to heaven by obeying the commandments. And then, secondly, he would teach us the futility, the utter futility of trying to take away your own sin and trying to atone for your sin and make yourself better before God by getting rid of your sin. Because when we break the commandments, that's called sin of our heart, our deeds, our words, our actions, our whole being is sinful. And then we got to ask the question, can I take away my sin, though? Can I do something to atone for my sin and make it all better and wash it away? And the Lord speaks to that too, because he knows we're self-righteous. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose that member than go to hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better that that happen than that you go to hell with your whole body. It's very crude. It's very graphic, isn't it? Kind of gross. But it's the words of Jesus that we don't just ignore because we don't like to hear it. He is teaching us the seriousness of sin. Take sin seriously. It's very, very serious. Don't treat sin lightly and don't compare it to other people thinking that you're not that bad because you're not as bad as they are. It's all bad. And then it's impossible. It's utterly futile for you to take it away. Really, you're going to cut off your hand every time your hand sins? Cut and cut and cut and cut. And gouge out your eye when it leads you to sin, and gouge out both of them, and then gouge out your tongue because you speak evil things, and then you got to gouge out your heart because your heart's sinful, so you're dead. It is impossible for you, impossible to take away sin. The text alludes to one who would be cut for us. There was one cut for us, cut in his hands, on his head, on his back, in his side, in his feet, whipped, cut all over the place. He's talking about himself. He's the one that will be cut for sin. He's the one who will die for sin. Now, I read something about Louis the Great. Louis the Great was the king of France, 1643 to 1715. And Louis was very arrogant. Louis wanted to be called Louis the Great. Okay? Call me Louis the Great. I'm such a great king. And anyway, Louis the Great died, and they had his funeral in a big cathedral there in France. And by Louis's orders, there was only to be one candle lit at his funeral, and that's the candle by his coffin. Don't light any of the other candles, just the one candle by his coffin, because the spotlight is on Louis even when he dies. He's so great. Well, during the funeral, the priest got up to preach. And before he preached, you know what the priest did? The priest extinguished the candle at the coffin and said, "Only God is great." Praise be to God for that priest. Louis, you're not so great. You're Louis the guilty and dead. We're all not so great. We're guilty and deserve to die. Only God is great. Only God can take away sin. Only God can obey his own commandments, and he does it in Jesus. Only God can save and deliver. Only God can create the heavens and the earth. Only God can count our sins not against us. Only God is great. And that leads to point number three. Kind of tough words, this Sermon on the Mount. They strike. They humble. Meant to be that way. But then the readings cry out for us, thirdly, to have faith. To put our faith in the only one who can obey these commandments. The only one who isn't a murderer, and that's the giver of life. The only one who's not an adulterer. The only one who truly loves. The only one who truly keeps his oaths and promises. The only one who can possibly obey all that God requires, and that is God's Son, Jesus. Put your faith in Him. He does it for you. Put your faith in Him. He will even die for your sins and make payment for your sins. Put your faith in Him. He will rise from the dead and conquer death. Put your faith in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It longs for faith. Where's the one who can do it? Where's the one who can deliver me and save me? His name is Jesus, friend. And put your entire faith in Jesus. What happens after the Sermon on the Mount is very important. Jesus preaches this wonderful sermon. And after the sermon, He heals a leper. After the sermon, He heals a man paralyzed. And then the Bible says that many of the sick came to Him. All the sick, the demon-possessed, they all came to Jesus and He healed them all. The point being, when you hear the law, you're a leper. You're a sinner. When you hear the law, you're paralyzed. You can't do anything. When you hear the law, you're sick. But come to Jesus. We lepers, we paralyzed, we burdened by the law. We are all guilty. Come to Jesus. He is our healing. He is our life. He is our hope. He is our salvation, our righteousness, our redemption, our light, our bread. Come to Him. The greatest sermon Jesus preached is not this sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It is later in Matthew when He hangs on a cross at Mount Calvary and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And yells out, "It is finished. I'm the one who completed the Sermon on the Mount. I'm the one who's paid for your sins and reconciled myself and God the Father to you. It is finished." The blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. This is love. Not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. You know, it's Valentine's Day coming up. Guys, a reminder of that Tuesday. It is Tuesday, am I right? Okay. And anyway, people were asked to write a little article on when they knew they were in love. Can you describe the moment when you knew you were in love? Well, different people wrote in. I like this one, where a woman writes in, her name is Nancy. And she says, "I had been dating an airman. His buddies told me that while eating in the chow hall, he'd write my name." Isn't that sweet? "He'd write my name in his mashed potatoes. I figured that must be true love." How do we know God truly loves us? When's the moment God loved us? It's before the foundation of the world, friend. And how do we know He really loves us? Well, He made us, yes. He parted the Red Sea, yes. He brought them to the Promised Land, yes. He knocked down the walls of Jericho, yes. He killed Goliath with the stone of David, yes. But how do we know God really loves us? He gave His Son in a manger, yes. His Son taught, yes. His Son healed people, yes. But how do we know God loves us? That God's Son would hang on a cross for 6 hours. There's the love of God, you who doubt. A God who would hang on a cross 6 hours, take our sin, our guilt, our fear, our trouble, our sicknesses, our hell, take it all upon Himself and redeem us and save us. There's the love of God, friends. And that's what the text is really pointing to. "I say to you," Jesus says, "I say to you, know the full meaning of the commandments. Know the futility of trying to take away your own sin. And put your faith in me," Jesus says. "Put your faith in me. I'll do it all for you." The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.